Let's talk about it.
Hello and welcome back to Thick Radio, the podcast where we talk about gaining, feedism, and everything in its orbit. I'm James.
And I'm Tim, so let's get it going.
Right, so, you know, the last time we did a review episode, I think we spent a good portion of time at the end of it just sort of expressing our negative feelings and about how we were really worried that this was just going to be the meme of, like, all, like, fat content that we would
So, listeners, we have taken it upon ourselves to review a lot of different, you know, like TV shows, movies, documentaries that all have something related to either weight gain or fat fetishism. And I got to tell you, we have suffered a great deal thus far, and I'm afraid that it's setting a tone that we will continue to suffer through these reviews. But we felt that it was our diligent responsibility to let you know what kind of media was out there involving fat fetishism and gainerism, and hopefully after you listen to some of these review episodes, you'll know what to avoid.
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, this content is out there, and if someone turns around to you and says, oh, I know everything there is to know about your experience because I've seen that one documentary, you know, probably in your
best interest. Or that one episode of a TV show, you know.
Yeah, probably in your best interest to be aware of what the fuck people are talking about. But never fear. If you would like to, you know, view these episodes yourself, you, of course, always have our permission. But please go without warning. Because, Christ, they are... It's something. Now, listen, today we're actually going to be covering, as Tim specified, we are going to be covering episodes around fetishism specifically, not necessarily episodes that we fetishize. So for example, we have not reviewed King Size Homer, right? Because that one is not actually about gaining or fetishism. That one is just an episode that we all find extremely hot. The episodes that we are going to be reviewing are episodes wherein some form of sexualized construct around fatness and weight gain has been made a part of. So with that outlined and that made a point of, the actual episodes and series we watched are as follows. Family Guy, season 4, episode 22, Sibling Rivalry, and season 5, episode 13, Bill and Peter's Bogus Journey. We watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 5, episode 5, The Waitress is Getting Married, and season 7, episode 10, How Matt Got Fat. And finally, The Dating Guy, Season 2, Episode 4, Asspocalypse Now. So, when we watch Sibling Rivalry, Brian points out that Lois has gotten fat since Peter had his vasectomy and that he should have sex with her. Is this meant to be a meme about, like, regular sex preventing weight gain?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that because, you know, there's this long held sort of, I guess, internal fear that some people will carry in their relationships that, like, if the sex begins to taper off or stops altogether, that, you know, one partner may or may not have insecurities about their looks as a result. And like, oh, well, why are we not having sex? Is it because I'm not desirable anymore? Am I too fat? Have I let myself become, you know, unattractive in some way? And as someone who did experience this in my marriage to my late husband, there was a point where I felt that way too. I mean, I was like 25-ish at the time, but I mean, it is a common fear that people experience when relationships start to develop problems.
It's interesting to reflect on because I suppose the idea would be if you have sex, you're doing some form of cardio and that would be a... I don't know, I guess something that would stop fatness from happening. But then as we sort of understand now, you know, we explore fat lib a little bit more, we understand that fatness, the genes that make you fat, the food and environmental circumstances that lend themselves to weight gain, cardio is probably a small factor in that. So I don't know, I wonder if there's an element to that where maybe it's a scapegoat around fatness and an excuse that people use to point fingers at partners who, in their mind, become physically less appealing in their mind.
I'm sure it is a commonly used, like, sort of weaponizing it against a partner, you know?
Yeah. Later on in the episode, Peter pushes the tables apart at the restaurant as an over-exaggeration of Lois's size. Literally just like, fat wife coming through. Do you feel like this is a reflection of how folk make light of fat phobia, and especially how it maybe has an effect on their partners who are larger?
Absolutely. You've never seen anybody do this kind of thing before? Because I have. I've seen people, right, you like just be outright rude and mean-spirited about it, and like they think that they're presenting it in a way that's funny, but they never stop to think about how that might be affecting either their partner or the other people in the room who might become very uncomfortable with what was just exchanged.
I mean, I know it's a thing that happens, and I don't say this to present any form of ignorance, people, but, you know, I was always under the presumption that people would do this thing kind of behind closed doors, you know, not out in public for fucking anybody and everybody to see. But then again, I guess that's what we're dealing with here. As we explore more about fat phobia on the podcast, I'm sure it becomes more and more apparent to everyone that tropes around how poorly fat people are treated are much more prevalent and much more common than probably what we allow ourselves to think. So there's that. Later on in bed, during the scene, he makes a comment that I actually think is quite interesting. He says, "Men aren't fat, only fat women are fat." I want to ask you, do you feel like this is maybe a touch on how society places a bit more fat phobia on fat women than it does on fat men?
Absolutely. And I can, and there are more TV shows that I can cite to back that up, because there's a, the relationship that Lois and Peter have, it has been done in other TV shows. And okay, so it's like the big chubby guy with the skinny hot wife, right? Homer Simpson, Marge Simpson. In King of Queens, it's Kevin James is the big guy, and Leah Remini is the skinny hot one. It's like, how many times have you seen that trope done in a television show where it's the loud, slobbish, not very bright husband with the skinny hot wife?
Yeah.
And then inevitably in all of these TV shows with that coupling, there will be an episode where the wife puts on weight, and then the husband, who is two or three times bigger than her, says, "You know what, you're getting kind of fat, I'm not really attracted to you as much anymore." Like,
yeah, there's like,
seriously,
there's definitely a sense of like obviously a double standard, but almost it points out the stupidity of the man, because the idea he's pointing out to his wife, "I can see that you've gotten fat, but I could never acknowledge that I've gotten fat, or that that's a bad thing.
Or that I started off fat, that I've always been fat, that you married me when I was fat."
Yeah. Again, I think this is a moment for reflection for our queer listeners that, I don't know, heterosexual dynamics, they're a real thing. And gender and size and that kind of thing really plays into relationships for a lot of people. After this, there's a scene where they're getting into bed together and they seem to fall into sex with each other. Like, obviously this is done for humor, but like, do you think that this maybe reflects how the straight size world presumes fat sex happens? Like, by accident?
Yeah, I guess so. Because I've heard, you know, like, there's a lot of mean-spirited jokes out there about how fat people have sex. And okay, I do think that society sort of sees it as, oh, well, it must have happened by mistake, or you must have sort of tripped and fell into each other, and your bits happen to find their bits, you know, and all of the mess that is you, you know, that kind of thing. And that's probably how they think it happens in the first place. Like, God forbid that anyone could ever imagine that someone wants to have sex with a larger person by choice and by design, and, you know, is actually very attracted to the larger body and wants to give it, you know, people like us who want to give it love and attention and worship. That just does not seem to be a concept that any of these writers have in their head.
I mean, it's a common phrase about, you know, you need people in the writer's room, you need people at every level of management, you need it everywhere in order to begin to see systemic change about ideas of things. I mean, when they try to determine, are we having sex right now? Lift up that flap right there. Yeah, we're having sex. Like, again, humorous, but the inference is that fat people are so big and fat that their genitals are completely disconnected from their own body. So how could they even feel the clit or the penis becoming aroused by the idea of sex because it's so disconnected from them? Or that they're so fat and cumbersome together that in order to determine if the penis is in the vagina at that point, they have to look up and see it. Like, it's just a lot. It's a lot going on.
It's too much going on.
Now, there is an infamous scene after this, which I think a lot of us as gainers, and you know, again, to be clear, there are memes in culture, I think, where obviously we see something that is fat adjacent, and because we're so good at fetishizing it and feeling like, ooh, this turns me on because of a humiliation kink or the situation, we don't necessarily see the impetus of that moment and maybe how it's not good in its regular context. Because Peter just starts to pull food out of the fridge. And yes, there's this actually kind of cute moment where they're both like, wow, fat sex is the most amazing thing. I didn't know whose boobs I was grabbing, your boobs or my boobs. Again, genitalia disconnection because we desexualize fat people. But he starts laying out all this food and then non-consensually starts to feed her.
Yeah, and
It's
that's
like,
actually what makes it a problem, is that it was non-consensual because she says, I'm not even hungry, I don't want to eat.
yeah, and then he says, I want you bigger, I want you fatter, it will please me. Now, I don't know if you felt this, but I felt when watching this that it reminded me of our favorite documentary that we reviewed last time, with the notion of a very horny man wanting to feed up his wife, whether or not she was consenting to it, and how maybe that puts us in a bad light, and how it's not good.
And I can see kind of the dangerous way, or I don't know if dangerous is the right word, but perhaps the insidious way that this kind of thing can creep into, like, say you are a person who maybe has a curiosity about the fat fetishism and feeding and all that stuff, and or maybe it's your first time hearing about it, and suddenly a switch goes off in your head, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I'd never considered that before. And this is the verbiage that you hear, and this is what you start to think is, oh, so this is what they do then. This is how, okay, so if I want to do this, I have to find somebody and force feed them and say these things to them, and then I will, like, there.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
You reap what you sow. I mean, again, we talked about this a few times, you know, the fantasy versus reality. We're all very good at painting the fantasy that we believe that we want for ourselves, but in reality, if that's all we talk about, people think, well, this is how it is, because this is all people talk about. There's no delineation, fantasy and reality, therefore this is it. I was talking to someone just today about The Whale, and they were utterly convinced that this was going to be a fabulous film. And listen, we haven't seen it yet at time of recording. It could shock us all and be the ultimate gainer representation. Who the fuck knows? However, I was explaining to this person that, you know, a lot of fat activists who have read the play, fat activists who have spoken out about its performance in the past, plus size queer actors who spoke about the film, and all number of things and factors in relation to it stipulate that this is most likely not going to be the fabulous film that this person might want it to be. And they were very much in defense of it, and I'm not mad at a defense, but you know, they were utterly convinced that, you know, it's not the film's fault for presenting the film in the way that the film is filmed. You know, it's Hollywood, and it's not the film's fault that, you know, who's to say that this isn't the real, you know, presentation of how fat people really live their lives.
Well,
And
let
you
me
know,
ask you this. Were they defending it based on the content of the film and what the film was trying to say, or were they defending it based on Brendan Fraser and his acting?
well, you see, I suspect it's Brendan Fraser because this person had come to Brendan Fraser's defense, and I was like, "Listen, I'm here for the oh, what's the term they gave it? The Renaissance, you know." And I'm all here for the Renaissance. Don't get me wrong. Also, at the size he's at, I think he's so hunky. I think he's gorgeous. I'm keen to see more. But also, I don't need to see him in a fat suit portraying something that is honestly going to look to me like a feckin' problem. And look, people, again, you're allowed your opinions. We may be shocked and surprised by how this film turns out, but we need to be prepared to acknowledge that absolutely 100% of films that concern itself directly with fat paint it in a bad light. Hello, this entire review series we're doing. Ultimately, it's not good in that way. And when we inevitably review this, we need to be prepared to talk about those points, because we need to be able to stand up against those points when they get levied against us.
When I have the opportunity to see it, I am going to try to be as open-minded as possible. But I think one of the issues that I may potentially face with this film is that there are types of films that Hollywood puts out every year that are very clearly what we call Oscar baiting, which is, you know, it's usually involves a actor that maybe has not necessarily gotten a lot of attention in the past, or is making some kind of comeback, or is just, you know, doing one of like if it's Meryl Streep, right? It's like, we're all used to seeing Meryl Streep in these award-winning roles. So, you know, like if we see a period film that Meryl Streep is in where it's high melodrama, we're like, oh, clearly Oscar bait. And I feel like this is going to be the same kind of thing, because it's his comeback. It's going to be very melodramatic. It's about a topic that so many people deal with, but nobody ever talks about it. This is going to be one of those films that's groundbreaking. I feel like it's going to be a really exploitative look at a very touchy subject. And
obviously,
you know, I'm
obviously we'll touch a lot more on this when it comes to the episode, but you know, I think the part that we'll leave in here when we talk about The Whale is just that we all know to keep an open mind about this stuff, because you can never truly know until something comes out. Don't flock it before it launches, because even if it is bad, let's talk about how bad it is because it's bad, and actually watch it and have those talking points. Let's bring some weight to the argument, ironically, so to say.
But I'm just nervous about this film. I kind of feel it could surprise me, but I feel nervous just anticipating seeing it, because I just,
apparently it's not out till the 3rd of February here, so you know what, time aplenty to wait. Reviews, which, to be fair, I'm going to try and avoid reviews if it comes out before I get to see it, so you know, we'll just see. But anyways, that's that. And listen, the final scene of this episode, Lois has a heart attack, and Peter doesn't want to stop and give assistance before he climaxes. Yeah, I feel like this just, it's no bueno. It's no,
yeah,
good.
No, it's not good. For a very obvious, I mean, the obvious, should I have to state the, I'm going to state the obvious reason. I'm sorry to the listeners, but the obvious reason why it's bad is because, you know, if your partner, someone you love, or someone you're married to, it's just anyone that means that much to you, if they begin to have a heart attack, your first priority should be getting them medical attention, not finishing, not nutting, you know, like that shouldn't be the most important thing to you. I'm trying to think of how to articulate this, but like, I know that we haven't reviewed the movie Feed, which is like a psychological thriller from around 2005, but I know from watching the trailer that there is a scene similar to this, and it's just fucking gross. Like,
yeah. Ultimately, what I think we're picking up on is a focus on a lack of consent, and the difference with that horror movie being as, this is the reason why what's happening is horrible, whereas this, it's portrayed as comedy, because isn't it funny that we're seeing a presentation of a relationship in a way that normal human beings don't have it, because it's so weird, because it's fat and all of that.
And I have to add too that if there are any individuals out there in the world, in our community or outside of our community, that would ignore their partner having a heart attack because they wanted to come,
oh my god,
you're disgusting.
Trash human being, get in the bin right now. But that's also, I think, an important point to come back to, because I think there is that presumption that, you know, people who do the non-con elements of gaining are participating in gaining in fetism. I'd like to clarify that they are not. Because when it comes to BDSM, you have BDSM, and then you've got horrible, horrible humans who, like, rape and violate with sexual violence people, and then they say, oh, well, I was just doing sadism, I was just doing that, because that's part of... I guarantee you, if you spoke to a BDSM person, they would shut you down and say that is not BDSM, that is sexual assault. They do not stand with us no matter what they say. And it's the same with us. If someone is non-con feeding or fattening up their partner or victimizing people through weight gain and using that as a form of coercion and manipulation, that is not gaining in fetism. That is sexual violence and assault. So we need to make sure that we are clear on that point, people. Anyways, the next episode. this was the other Family Guy episode. Bill and Peter's bogus journey. Near the start of the episode, they show Bill Clinton reviewing a cankle pageant. Do you feel like that scene gave like some form of fat positive vibe? Because obviously he's like fetishizing fat women in that scene, but it is a pageant that is theoretically celebrating larger women. Is that the sense that you got from that scene, or did it come across as skeevier?
To me, it came across as another like mean-spirited joke, honestly. I don't feel that it was really represented that positively, again, because it was in a comedy show of this nature, and this show is known to just lampoon everything. So I don't think for a minute, because really think about any episode of Family Guy that you've ever watched. Is there any morality that's ever really preached? Are there any really good lessons that come out of it? Like this one was just, again, another like cheap shot as far as I was concerned.
Right. I mean, in another scene, Peter decides that he wants to try to lose weight and become a little bit more fit. He sees these like two, like, you know, that meme of like the barbell guy who's like bald, wears like a pinstripey leotard, has a big curly mustache.
Yeah, a clear nod to like a 1910s aesthetic, or actually, I think it might even be an 1890s aesthetic.
You know, like this like circus performer. There's these two guys who are working out and they're like, oh, do you want to work out? We have a song for you. And they start singing this trite song about eating steak and eggs for breakfast. Now, obviously you're not a dietitian or a nutritionist, but while this is presented as a healthy way to eat and lose weight, my instinct would be that that would lead you to gain weight. Is that the meme that's going on there?
Well, I mean, like you said, I'm not a dietitian, but with the you know, information that I had to learn for nursing school, like heavy, like a lot of protein does not necessarily lead to weight gain, at least not a fat. Like you would go on a heavy protein diet to build muscle mass because proteins are what build muscle. Carbohydrates, when they are not burned off, are stored as body fat. So if you're eating steak and eggs, yeah, you've got some cholesterol from the egg yolk, but you're still eating a very high protein diet. So I don't think it would lead to weight gain, just not fat weight gain. It would lead to muscle weight gain if you're working out. If you're not working out and you're on a heavy protein diet, then yeah, I'm going to assume that would also lead to just fat weight gain.
Okay. There is another moment. Bill Clinton pulls up in front of the house and then he's having a fat girl party in the back of his car. Now, to me at this point, there are lots and lots of jokes being pointed at Bill Clinton having some kind of a fat fetish. Now, I know Hillary is not like a size zero, but I also wouldn't necessarily call her massively fat. Is there like something in American culture with Bill Clinton and fat women that I don't know about?
I think that it mostly stems from the Monica Lewinsky scandal. So back in 1998, he got into a shitload of trouble for having an affair with an intern by the name of Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, yeah.
Was, I think, 22 at the time. And, you know, because he lied about it and everything, that's what led to the impeachment. But what is interesting to note about this is that Monica was a plus-sized woman. And there were a lot of jokes that were being made at the time about, oh, look, you know, the president is getting a blowjob in the Oval Office from the chubby chick that brings in the mail. You know, like I heard really mean-spirited shit said about Monica Lewinsky.
Right.
So it feels like they just leaned into that and they're like, oh, well, you know, because he had an affair with a plus-size woman, he must be into plus-size women. He must fetishize them, you know.
Got you. I mean, that's interesting. I think, like, obviously I knew about the Monica Lewinsky scandal, but I don't know that I've ever seen, like, photos of her. So it's interesting that, like, I don't know, I guess I just... But then, that's interesting. Why did I just presume that this woman was thin? Why am I surprised? that he had an affair with a fat woman. Go, systemic fat phobia, even in our presumptions throughout the very day. do you feel like, how many years after this was this episode? Because I think this particular episode came out in 2007. When did the scandal happen?
1998. So
we're about 10 years, just shy of. We're about 10 years after the scandal breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to present him in this way 10 years after the scandal, or is it maybe a bit too soon?
Well, I think it's just kind of silly to lean into the whole like, oh, well, because he had an affair with this one woman who happened to be plus size, why do we then automatically assume that that's some kind of fetish for him? You know, like he had an affair with a woman who just happened to be plus size. I don't really think that it was necessary. You know, I don't think that the affair happened because she was large. You know, she just happened to be large.
Yeah. And actually, that makes a bit of sense because you, I think you mentioned this when we were watching it at the time. They placed a prank called someone called Linda Tripp.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Said she was bullied in the media for her looks.
Oh, yeah. They ripped into her. Like, the media was so mean to her about, like, because so the whole reason why everyone was against Linda Tripp was because so Monica had confessed the affair to Linda. Monica thought that Linda was her friend.
Right.
And so she would call Linda up and she would tell her what was going on. And like, you know, and Monica, again, was only 22 at the time. And so she didn't really understand how bad the situation really was and all of the implications that could come from it. And the problem with what Linda did was that she recorded all of the phone conversations without Monica knowing.
Right.
And then she sat on all this information until she decided to break it to you know, the authorities, or I can't remember who she eventually turned the tapes over to, but everyone jumped on Linda and was like, you're a terrible person, you're a horrible friend, you betrayed your friend, yada yada, you're an ugly fat bitch, you're this, you know, this wow. kind of stuff. And to the point of when SNL did a skit about it, John Goodman ended up playing Linda Tripp.
Oh my god.
So yeah, and they did a follow-up, I want to say it was maybe about 2007, so maybe about, you know, 10 years afterwards, where they've, you know, caught up with Linda Tripp. She was living in, I think, Montana or something like that, on an isolated farm. And she said that she felt so bad about what they were saying about her looks, her weight, everything, that she just got a ton of plastic surgery.
Wow.
Yeah, she's like, I felt, you know, I was being told I was ugly. I was being told that I was fat every single day. So she got liposuction and facial reconstruction.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I know we talk a lot about, you know, systemic fat phobia and things that it can do to people. But fuck, I hope this showcases some very real life-changing stuff. This is what it does to people.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck me, mind your words, you know? Do you feel like if that situation were to happen now that people would act differently? Like, do you think that the general population would still lean into that kind of abuse, or do you think that they would act differently?
I feel like certain news outlets would still do the bullying, like Fox Network would probably do a shitload of bullying to her. But I feel like the pushback from the younger generation would be, don't go after her for her looks. If you're going to go after someone, go after what they did, not the way that they look, you know?
Oh, the whole Donald Trump thing. You know, everyone was going after him for being fat. And then everyone was like, look, yes, he's an asshole, but come on, can we just... don't make it about the fact that he's fat. That's just your fat phobia shining through. If you sit there and stipulate that he did all these horrible things, that he's a bad, 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 bad person, but the only thing you can point to is his fatness, what do you really believe is terrible about this person?
Yeah.
You know? So, ugh, conversations on stuff. Well, pivoting then to... Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which I'll admit I'd never actually watched the show before.
Neither had I.
I mean, obviously I knew about the whole Matt gets fat thing because everyone fucking talks about it, but I didn't know anything about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is this episode when the waitress is getting married. And this is the only thing that happens, right? Because essentially, okay, during this episode, members of the gang walk in on Frank having some kind of a role play call with someone. After he terminates the call, he explains that this woman has a food fetish, and the scene moves on without any further acknowledgement of what was just discussed or disclosed. Hopefully asking a slightly more positive question here, do you feel like this is maybe a more accurate reflection of how civilians would respond if we opened up about our gayness sexuality? That they wouldn't care that much?
Well, I think that's a nuanced question because everybody's a little bit different. Some people are really nosy. Some people will just ask a lot of questions for the sake of asking questions, and some people just won't care. They'll be like, yeah, whatever, move on. Like, I have something more important to talk about than this. So I feel like that would be a mixed bag. Like, you can't really predict how someone is going to react to learning information about that. I would hope that most people would just be like, oh, okay. But you know what I find is really interesting? Because we were talking about why did we watch this episode, right?
Mm.
You had gone onto IMDb and you had typed in words like fetish, weight gain, stuff like that. And it compiled this list of episodes. And this was one of the episodes on that list. And when we watched it and we were like, okay, what is this? This had nothing to do with anything. It's because in the script, they had that word fetish, right? So the SOE that, you know, when it was transcribed, clearly SEO. The SEO, when the transcript was made, clearly like the search feature picked out that word fetish and was like, okay, this is an episode for you because we found this one word that was in it.
Yeah. It's wild, you know, and I think it also speaks to the fact that, you know, if there was just more content that was gayness fetus adjacent, you know, we wouldn't be scraping over minutia to try and get some kind of content out of it. But hey ho, that was an episode. The other episode, and of course, this is probably the most infamous one that we'll talk about here today. How Mac got fat. Like 10 seconds into the episode, he declares that he is fat whilst in confession. I want to ask, because obviously we've had this discussion before about like there's this kind of history with fat phobia and religion, you know, this tying in of sloth and gluttony, you know, like, is there a shamingness in why he's going to confession? Like, is that ultimately why? Because I feel like there's a million other metrics he could have used to like tell the story of how he got fat. He didn't need to be in confession to do it. It also didn't feel like he was confessing anything. He was just storytelling. Like, I could have seen him do this in like an AA meeting.
Yeah.
Or something.
If I can take a stab at it, I think that the writers just weren't very creative with this one. And two, when I think about I've literally only watched two episodes of this show with you. That's the only thing I've ever seen of Sunny in Philadelphia. And so I gather that all these people work at an Irish pub in Philadelphia. I'm right. Going to assume that most of them are of Irish descent. I know that there's a, you know, the trope would be, oh, he's a good Irish Catholic boy, he'll go to confession. But the character of Mac is clearly written to be an idiot.
Yeah.
And only an idiot would go into a confessional booth to bitch about what he perceives his friends have done to him, to a priest who is not there to be a relationships counselor, but is there to absolve his sins. Like, the whole thing was just so idiotic. But I feel like that's probably it was intentionally done by the writers to show that Mac is an idiot.
Yeah, I just, and once again, we come back to the fact that a character cannot simply be fat. They have to be fat and stupid, fat and unsexy, fat and moronic, you know. And I mean, look, I think we're going to get into that as we talk about this, because at one point during confession, the priest points out that Mac is eating food while he's talking, which he isn't allowed to do in the box. Personally, I felt like that was a lean into the whole, like, fat people, they didn't even have willpower to not stuff their fat faces when they're in confession. What a fat idiot. You know, like, that's the vibe it gave me.
You know, the other thing is, like, so it wasn't just a box of donuts. It was a box of donuts with like a packet of M&Ms and a packet of chips in it as well.
Well, he was listing them off one at a time.
Well, and then of course his tank top is riding up to show off, you know, it's riding up above his navel to like really show off the how squeezed into it he is. And the other thing that I took umbrage with was this big sweat stain that they painted in between his pecs, right? And at that weight that he was at, okay, like if you guys look up the image of Mac as being a fat character, right? He's maybe 20 pounds under where James and I are at right now. And
okay, he admits at the end of the episode, he's like, I did it. I broke 200. I did it.
Oh, 200. That's right. So he's 40 pounds lighter than me.
10 pounds lighter than me. Like that. Yeah. Kids, that's saying something. Tim and I are both technically small fat, about to go into mid fat. He is the first sizing of fat. He is hardly anything. God. Anyway, sorry.
Well, looking at his chest, I'm like, because Mac is a character that, or the actor, you know, was a man who obviously worked out, you know, so he had very defined pectoral muscles.
Ron McKellen.
And then at the weight that he got to, it's not, they did not become moobs. They became beefy titties. That's what they were. They were just beefy tits. And yeah, I know that we all sweat, you know, like in our chest area, but like the amount of sweat that was on that tank top, I was like, those aren't moobs, man. Like he's not good. And even if they were going to show that, the sweat should be underneath his pecs then, not directly in the center.
Yeah. It felt like greasy Tony Stark, some weird kind of reference. I don't know. It came off as strange, honestly. Right.
I just have to say before you move on to the next point, having only seen two episodes of that show, I would never watch it again. I'm sorry. If anyone out there listening that loves that show, I'm glad you enjoy it, but that was two very painful episodes to sit through.
Oh my God. And when we were looking up, like just for reference, like what season did this happen? What episode number? It's still going. It's at season 15. Why is someone giving the show money? Anyways, no. We're not going to go there. So, the last point to be made about this episode is the final scene, because he leaves confession. Well, he doesn't leave confession. Confession is obviously happening after everything. It's the last time he is in the story before confession, and it's the first time we see him with all the other characters. Within seconds of the conversation, they proceed to insult his intelligence for still choosing to go with weight gain because it was like a part of the scheme that they were doing at the time. I don't fucking know. Apparently they do schemes. But he was getting fat as part of the scheme and they were like, oh God, you know, maybe if you put down the fork sometime, you'd have known that the scheme is over. And then they belittled his willpower because they were like, maybe if you stopped eating and, you know, you focused. And then they were pointing and laughing at him when candy apparently started to fall out of his pockets. And he's obviously getting very visibly frustrated. He's like, don't laugh at me, don't laugh at me. And then tried to do the mask Hulk thing, like ripping open the tank top and couldn't do it. And then they were like, oh no, he's too weak. And then he storms off and goes to confession and that's where the story happens. So we've seen a lot of fat negativity, I think, being subconsciously or subtly portrayed in these episodes, and honestly not that subtly, let's be frank.
This
was obstinate. This was horrible. This was abusive.
Yeah, you know, that final scene, honestly, when they all started making fun of him and he started screaming, I was like, this just looks like a bunch of children on the playground making fun of each other. Like, this is the fact that adults act like this. I was,
again, maybe that was,
and the candy falling out of the pockets, like seriously, like I tropes aside, I truly don't know any gainer that travels with food in his pockets.
No, like I very rarely have snacks on me. I go out to buy snacks, and then I have it in my hands as I'm eating it because I'm gonna eat it and then I'm gonna walk. I don't have it in my fucking pockets.
And then also, why would you want to put it in your pocket in the first place? Because the body heat would melt chocolate.
Oh, your thighs are going to smush anything that you wear because your jeans are going to be so tight, your thighs are going to smush whatever's inside of there. So there's no point.
Yeah. It would be a waste of snacks, and that's not something that we do. We do not waste snacks.
No, we don't.
We are not we are not those kinds of people. We do not waste snacks around here.
No wastage, darling. Not in this economy. Cost of living girl, can't be doing that. The question I want to squeeze out of this horribly abusive moment is to ask you, do you feel that civilians who watched the episode live at the time would feel differently rewatching this scene now?
I don't know, honestly, because the type of humor that this show aims for has been consistent, I would assume, if it's in 15 seasons by this point. So I guess this show must cater to a crowd that is into a particular kind of comedy. And I think that they would probably laugh at it today as they did then. I mean, I would think that there's plenty of people out there that don't like this show, and they have plenty of reasons as to why they don't. It's all about the audience, you know. This show is aimed at a particular audience. So yes, I think they would laugh.
I hate to agree, but I think you are right. I think the fact that it is still going 15 seasons in, I think is evidence that people just don't care as much about maybe the implications of the comedy or how that comedy might make other people feel. But we live in hope. We live in hope for a future, and that maybe if we have some good fat content, maybe people will feel differently. The final episode we watched was Asspocalypse Now.
Well, this was actually a different show as well. This was The Dating Guy.
Yes, that's right. This is a show called The Dating Guy. Now, again, when watching this episode, we kind of felt like the themes being shown were more just problematic than anything else, because the kind of use of fat and the use of fat fetishism or fat sexuality was in relation to a female character who wanted a BBL. Mm-hmm. And there's a character who is of South Asian descent who is constantly being shown to be overweight, lazy, with a stereotypical accent, who accompanies this person to South
America. Don't forget to don't leave out the fact that he has a serious like gooning fetish too. Every time he was shown, he was trying to masturbate, or he was like watching porn, or like in the very opening of the episode, he's like sitting in his room surrounded by like a laptop, a TV screen, a smartphone, and there's porn playing on all of it.
I need more porn. And then uses his housemate's phone to try and access porn. But also his housemate, who's dating the girl, he grabs her butt, which is sexual assault.
Yeah, out of nowhere, he just comes up and starts fondling her butt. Like, what the fuck? And then
every character just decides to treat him like, oh, look at him, this idiotic sex pest. I guess if you grab her butt, we're allowed to slap you in the face. And then everyone just starts slapping him on repeat, which I'm also uncomfortable with, because I'm like, sure, he was sexually assaulting someone, that's a good response, but also, why is this in a cartoon? Like,
okay, but like, if all the other characters had been like, hey, that's sexual assault, you can't do that, and started reprimanding him and whatnot, okay, I would have lived with that. But they all start laughing and slapping him over and over again. Like, they find it comedic that they're just beating the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
Like, what is this scene? Who wrote this?
Yeah, and the fact is, when you consider a cartoon, every second of a cartoon you watch is 24 individual images that had to be painted, drawn, styled, and flipped, which means several people were involved in every second of a cartoon that you watch. So when you see some ridiculous setup about gooning and sexual assault and laughing and smacking someone in the face, which lasted for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it went on so long. I was like, why are they focusing on this?
I guarantee you, whoever was involved in that scene has not put that on their fucking resume. They certainly aren't owning up to that today.
Well, and here's the, you know, so like with the one character that wants to go get the BBL, right? So they fly down to Brazil and they meet a doctor named, what was his name? Pedro Mengele.
Didn't you say he was like some kind of famous Nazi doctor?
Well, so I thought when I heard Mengele, I immediately thought of Josef Mengele, who was a Nazi doctor who experimented on Jewish people during the Holocaust. Like when they were in the concentration camps, he would perform really barbaric, heinous, truly evil medical experiments on people. And so, like, you know, when I heard that last name, that's what immediately popped in my head was, and I don't know if that's what they intended to be like, okay, this is a whack doctor who's like, who has no idea what he's doing and is going to perform some terrible medical experiment on this woman. Like, that's what, but then to see that, like, you know, he's about to like inject the silicone into her butt, and he doesn't have any silicone. So they go get the other guy, I don't remember what his character's name, but the guy who has the porn problem. They drag him over and they suck the fat out of his gut to put it in her ass.
We didn't end up finishing the episode, in all honesty, but I really wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of situation that involves her suddenly liking curry, or if there's some kind of super problematic, like,
or maybe she develops a porn addiction of her own or something, like via transference. I don't know. It was just a fucking weird episode.
I don't know, and I'm not inclined to watch anymore to find out. But listen, everyone, those are the episodes we watched. So now let's ask our typical questions. What do you feel were the director's motivations for producing these kinds of episodes? And I will just offer up here that the sibling rivalry episode of Family Guy came out in early 2006. Bill and Peter's Bogus Journey came out in early 2007. The Waitress is Getting Married came out in late 2009. Asspocalypse Now came out in late 2010. And How Matt Got Fat came out in late 2011. So, you know, all within a 5-year period, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at 2006 to 2011. What do you think would have been their motivation at this time in the world?
Probably a reflection of the times itself and the kinds of comedy that people found funny. I mean, there was a slight resurgence of gross out humor at that time. Because like back in the 90s, gross out humor, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, gross out humor was a big thing in the 90s, and I feel like it had a slight revival towards the end of the early 2000s. And I think that that's honestly what they were going for, was gross out humor. And, you know, to look at it in a mean-spirited way, because how long has the fat liberation been going as a dedicated movement so far?
I mean, since the late 60s. It began with a fat in, I think it was in 69 in New York. But that's really the impetus of
so that operation. But the stuff that we're seeing right now, like, do we know when that began to really get pushed to the forefront?
Well, I suppose it's sort of like a reflection of like BLM. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. if we don't see it in the news, is it even happening? Like, BLM, I think for a lot of people just thought it started in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of it. But civil rights has been going ever since. So I think it's the same sort of thing. I think what we're seeing now has come about from that period of like 2012, 2014, because that's when I was at uni and I felt like I really started to notice this like push towards like omni equality, right? And fat was sort of like lumped in to that
situation. So then it was episodes like this that was hindering the body positivity movement at that time. It was this kind of shit that was reinforcing the ideas that, you know, it's weird or that it's gross. Or that, you know, and probably this was the stumbling blocks that were placed in the way.
Yeah, probably what pushed a lot of fat lib to really say we need to be more vocal, more visible, you know. So I see that correlation. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to agree with you because I can't make head or tail of the attitudes behind episodes like this. I don't get the humor. I don't get the insult humor. I don't get this presentational attitude.
You know, with the Family Guy episode specifically, because I remember when those were new episodes, I remember when they aired, and I remember not really laughing back then either.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a really tricky question here. What did we like about these episodes?
Honestly, nothing, because let me just put it to you guys this way. This has been a race to the bottom. I'm like, what can we watch that was worse than the last thing we watched? Thus far, I have only given one thing a negative rating, and it was really hard to even put some of these ratings in a positive number. Like, it was so hard. And so I will say about Mac Gets Fat, that episode, I think that Rob, what's his name again? Rob McElhenney. He looks good with weight on him. He's a very handsome man. And with weight on him, he looks even more handsome. Like, I think he would make a beautiful big belly bear. That's probably never going to happen, but that's why I could give it at least a one.
Yeah. No, look, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I don't think any other elements of any other episodes really sold me on the notion of fat or of gaining. Even the sibling rivalry episode where, Lois gets fat. I don't find it unappealing because she's a woman. I find it unappealing because the way they present the construct of getting fat is so unappealing. It's Peter being an asshole and being fat himself rather than being sexy and seductive. Like, there's no zhuzh, there's no joy to it. It's all just bullying until he's horny, and then apparently he's gonna go.
It's dour and joyless.
Which, you know what? Congratulations to the civilian world. They found a way to make the concept of gaining horrible to watch. So, that was that. What did we dislike about these episodes?
I don't know if we have enough time, but
You know what? I'll challenge you here. What is the thing you disliked most out of all the shit we saw? What did you hate the most?
just the fact that, the way it's presented, it's presented so people can point at the TV and go, ha ha, that's funny, fat's funny, look at that, that's gross. There's so, like that kind of shit. That's what I hate the most about it.
Yeah. I'd honestly have to agree. I think trying to pick just one thing, how do you do it? How do you do it
Yeah, like I said, we don't have enough
between
time.
there ain't enough time in the world. And honestly, I've got better things to do in my day, even for the sake of a review episode. So you know what? That's that for that question. What would you change about these episodes? Aside
So,
from not making them.
okay, yeah. So like if it was, let's say the sibling rivalry episode, right? Maybe if Lois had discovered that she actually liked being a larger woman and felt more confident and felt sexier, and like, and if Peter had had a better reaction to it and been like, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I'm a big guy. I know what it's like to have to, navigate in a larger body. And if this is what you really want, babe, like, I still think you're beautiful. And like, I'm still sexually, like, I still want to have sex and everything. And like, if it had gone that direction, or like, take the episode Mac gets fat. What if, God forbid, Mac had just decided that he wanted to be a bigger person? It was like, I'm under 200 pounds. I don't really feel like a big burly kind of person. And I've always been very curious about what it would be like to be like that. I want to know what that kind of power feels like to sort of fill up more space, and had just decided, you know what? I want to be a bigger person.
Yes.
So here I go. I could have dealt with that.
I suppose what I come back to is, statements on how what people see is what they learn to be the truth. And this is why, when you've got artists like Taylor Swift with the whole anti-hero music video making statements like, oh, it's just like how I decided to express my vision. No, girl, like when you do this, this is the idea that people have. And you know that that's the idea that people have, so don't do it. Now, in response, you took that down, and that's fabulous. Yes, thank you. Good for that. But, movies, for example, you can avoid them. If you see a title, if you see a clip, if you see a trailer that makes you think this is not for me, you can avoid it. But maybe you enjoy Family Guy, or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, or any number of shows where fatness is presented. And maybe you are caught off guard with ick. When you sit down on a Thursday to watch your favorite TV show, maybe you're around your partner, your family, your friends, you're having dinner. And then you see Lois getting absolutely fat shamed by someone like Peter Griffin, being fucked until she has a heart attack, and have Peter Griffin care so little for her that he has to come first before he offers her assistance. Like, it's just no good. So, look, changes I would make. Just positive representation of fat. And I don't, at this stage, I don't even know how you do it with this style of comedy. Maybe just tell them not to touch it. That'd be nice.
Well, and I also want to point this out. Okay, like we didn't like these episodes, but that doesn't mean that the show overall is a bad show and shouldn't be on the air. Like there's plenty
No.
of episodes of Family Guy that I've laughed at. There's plenty of episodes of The Simpsons I've laughed at. I've like I said, this is the first time I've ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I really don't think I'll watch it again. But if you enjoy it, I'm glad you enjoy it because I do want people to like the things that they watch. But I do think we also have to recognize when they really mess up on something and challenge the writers to do better.
Yeah, I would honestly sum up so many of these episodes as like lazy writing. Like that's the whole reason this trope came about, that they decided to put it in there. So bugger it all, you know? Right, Timbo, final verdicts for Family Guy's sibling rivalry.
I gave it a 2 out of 10. Like, it's not the worst episode ever. Like I said, I wish that it hadn't been so mean-spirited, but, you know, it's still, like, there were moments that made me giggle. Like, not laugh out loud, but at least giggle.
Yeah, I gave it a 5 out of 10, honestly, just because of the sex appeal. And that is the biggest push I could offer it. Family Guy's Bill and Peter's Bogus Journey.
I think I gave that one a 4 because there were some moments that did make me laugh out loud. But again, like leaning into the whole Bill Clinton is into large women just because he had an affair with one large woman, I think is kind of tired.
Yeah, I gave it a 3. Just because I was like, look, there's really not a lot of sex appeal here for me, but at least there seems to be some enjoyment of a fat body at least. So I suppose that's a score. Right. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia's The Waitress is Getting Married. Final verdict.
0 out of 10 because it had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, right. It was a throwaway line and that was fucking it.
Wow, yeah.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia's How Mac Got Fat.
It gets a 1 just because of the act. I forgot his name again. Rob McElhenney. I don't know why I can't remember his name. He looks good when he's overweight. And that's the only reason I would give it a 1.
Yeah, same reason I gave it a 2. I was like, he looks hot. And that's literally it. And rounding out the episode, The Dating Guys, Asspocalypse Now.
I think initially I gave it a 1, but I'm going to amend that. It's a 0 because of all the other shit that happened in the episode. Like the character that had the porn addiction, the slapping him around and laughing about it, the fact that he sexually assaulted that woman. Like, yeah, it's a 0. I don't think there's any redeeming qualities to that episode.
Yeah, I would give mine as a 0 as well. But look, everyone, those are the episodes. And if you want to watch them, Google them and good luck. Thanks a lot for bearing with us through that today. That's a wrap for now here on Thick Radio. Please remember to like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave a good review. If for whatever reason you liked this episode, but you do love the podcast and us in general, please share it with your friends and encourage them to tune in. You can find me on Instagram and BeefyFrat at Stanham.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, and BeefyFrat at Thicky Mouse. You can also look us up on TikTok at Thick Radio or at our website at www.podpage.com/Thick Radio. If you want to submit a voice note, you can reach us at anchor.fm/Thick Radio/message. And if you have any questions or ideas for episodes, you can reach us at thethickradio@gmail.com. So until next time, bye, fats.
Bye, fats.
Let's talk about it.
Thick Radio is a Patreon and Anchor app podcast produced by Stan and Dickie Mouse.
Mixed and mastered by Stan.
Our artwork is provided by Loki2.
Our theme song is provided by Bonify Cream.